Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. I'm gonna guess that even if you don't know any other constellation in the night sky, you know the Big Dipper. My earliest memory of looking up at the night sky was in early grade school, and I remember getting out of the car in our driveway one night and looking up and seeing the Big Dipper. And I had just learned about it in school, and I remember announcing to my parents, "Look, there's the Big Dipper." And I think it was the same week when I saw it again through the car window when we were driving somewhere. It was pretty exciting to me as a kid to be able to point out something that I knew in the night sky. The story kind of takes a sad turn from there because the Big Dipper was the only thing I could identify in the night sky until I was about 40 years old. I'm not even kidding. I'd heard of Orion and Gemini and Sagittarius and a handful of other constellations, but I had no idea what they looked like, let alone where to find them in the sky. I'm happy to report, though, that I know a lot of constellations now. In fact, I've been leading stargazing experiences for about 4 years now, and I love seeing different constellations appear as the seasons change. But I'm always going to have a sweet spot in my heart for the Big Dipper because it was the first relationship that I forged with the night sky as a child. In this episode, we're going to spend some time getting to know what's called the circumpolar constellations. And yes, the Big Dipper is part of all of that. So get yourself prepped for a bit of time under the stars. Dress for the cold weather, pour a hot drink, and grab a blanket. And I also recommend that you get your stargazing app ready on your phone by opening it, turning down the screen brightness, and setting your phone to night mode that gives your screen that reddish hue. And then gather everyone in your house, turn off all the lights, and I'll meet you outside under the stars in just a minute. I am so excited to offer my first themed night sky experience of 2024. It's the full moon fitness walk on January 25th. Get some extra steps on your fitness tracker while enjoying some time under the magic of a full moon. In addition to the 2 mile walk, you'll learn about the cultural history of January's full cold moon. And you'll also get a little more intimate view of our closest celestial neighbor through a telescope, along with a close-up peek at Jupiter, the king of the planets. The cost is $10 per person, and buying tickets couldn't be more easy. Visit nightskytourist.com/events and click on the full moon fitness walk. With just a few clicks, you'll be signed up and ready to join me for the magic of the full moon. You can click on the link in the show notes or go to nightskytourist.com/events. I hope to see you there. Are you ready for some stargazing? We're going to face north for tonight's tour, so situate your chair so you can face that direction. I told you that we're going to tour the circumpolar constellations, but what does that mean? Well, we're going to look at the stars that go around our celestial North Pole. So get an image in your head of a globe. Imagine that you've given it a real good spin, and you probably remember that it spins on its axis. This axis is like an imaginary stick that skewers our planet from north to south. Think of that stick or axis pointing way, way, way out into space. It would come pretty close to touching what we call the North Star, and the real name of that star is Polaris. We give it the title of North Star because our North Pole points at it. Many times when I ask people how they would find the North Star, they say that it's the brightest star in the night sky. Take a quick look around. Where is the brightest star in the sky tonight? Depending on your location, it's either almost straight up overhead or behind you a little bit. And it's really bright, isn't it? But that is the planet Jupiter. So if you were navigating the ship that you and I were both on, we would both be lost at sea or dead. So thanks a lot. The North Star, Polaris, is a somewhat insignificant looking star, but it plays a huge role for humanity. Go ahead and pull out your stargazing app and look for the North Star. It's at the tip of the handle of the Little Dipper. Now, if you're under or you're near light-polluted skies, you probably won't be able to see any of the other stars of the Little Dipper. But if you have relatively decent dark skies, you might be able to spot them. I can see them from where I live if the air is really clear and there's no moon. Polaris is always in that spot, 24 hours a day. It never moves. But because Earth is spinning, it makes it look like the rest of the nearby stars are going in a circle around Polaris. This is how the constellations nearest to Polaris got the name circumpolar constellations. So which constellations are included in this group? That would be Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, Draco, Cassiopeia, and Cepheus. We've been talking about the Little Dipper, and that is within the constellation called Ursa Minor, the Little Bear. Can you use your stargazing app to see if you can spot the rest of the stars that make up Ursa Minor? Now, we started this episode talking about the Big Dipper. I live in the Southwest, so the Big Dipper scrapes the northern horizon in the early evenings right now from my viewpoint. The Big Dipper is part of the constellation Ursa Major, or the Big Bear, and it's quite big. Use your stargazing app to find all of its stars. Next is Cassiopeia, and it's pretty easy to spot right now. It's not quite overhead, but it's pretty close. And in the early evening, it's currently positioned to look like an M in the sky. But because it's circling the North Star, if you went outside around 1 o'clock in the morning, you would see it in the northwestern sky, and it would look like a jagged E. And then around sunrise, it would be really low on the northern horizon and look like a W. And then around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, although you wouldn't be able to see it in the daylight, it would be in the northeast and it would turn to look like a jagged number 3. But because the positions of the stars are seasonal, 6 months from now, you'd have a completely different view in the early evening hours. The Big Dipper would be where Cassiopeia is right now, and Cassiopeia would be scraping the northern horizon in a W shape. So hopefully that gives you a little idea of how those stars are spinning in a circle around the North Star. Now let's look for Draco. Draco is a Latin word for dragon, and it slithers across the sky in a snake-like fashion. If you have light pollution, you'll probably need your stargazing app to help you find it. And finally, Cepheus. Cepheus is currently to the west of the North Star, and it looks like a house turned on its side. It's not too difficult to spot, and it has one very bright star. And I want to tell you a little about Cepheus before I share a story with you about Ursa Major. Cepheus is super interesting because of the celestial objects that are hanging out in that area. It might not look like it, but most of the stars in Cepheus are the largest known stars. Now, why don't they look like the biggest stars in the sky? That's because they're just so insanely far away and it makes them look smaller, but they are not. They are huge. Maybe you've heard about supermassive black holes that are at the center of many galaxies. Well, the area of the sky where we see Cepheus holds an ultra-massive black hole. It has been measured as being the size of 40 billion sun masses. Think of the mass of our sun, multiply that by 40 billion, and that is the mass of this ultra-massive black hole. That makes it 10,000 times more massive than the black hole at the core of our own Milky Way galaxy. This is one of the largest black holes we have discovered so far. Now, in Greek mythology, Cepheus was the king of Ethiopia, and he was married to Cassiopeia, and together they had a daughter named Andromeda. I told the entire story of Andromeda in episode 82, so click on the show notes to listen to that story or visit nightskytourist.com/82. In just a minute, I'll share the story of Ursa Major, where we find the Big Dipper. Winter has some of the best stargazing of the entire year. Some of the most well-known constellations are visible and even fairly easy for people under light-polluted skies to see. The brightest star in Earth's entire night sky is now visible, along with a couple of planets, a nebula, a star cluster, and all of these things are visible to the naked eye. I recently published my winter stargazing guide on my blog, so don't miss any of these celestial treasures. Check out the guide and get some tips to make winter stargazing more comfortable. Click on the link in the show notes or visit nightskytourist.com and click on the blog tab. It might be cold right now, but the super crisp, clear skies in winter combined with some of the most exciting celestial views should not be missed. Check out the winter stargazing guide today. Tonight I'm going to share with you the Greek story of Ursa Major. Zeus, the king of the gods, who was also known as Jupiter in Roman mythology, sees a beautiful young woman named Callisto. And he gets friendly with her. Like, too friendly? You know, in case your kids are listening. Some time passes and Zeus's wife Hera finds out that Zeus has a son named Arcas with Callisto. Hera is inflamed with jealousy toward Callisto, so she turns Callisto into a bear. So poor Callisto is wandering around living the bear life until one day she encounters her son Arcas. Arcas sees the bear, but he has no idea this is actually his mother trapped in a bear's body. He raises a spear and he's about to launch it through the air at his mother when Zeus steps in to avert the tragedy. Zeus wanted to protect Callisto and Arcas from any further dangerous situations and to protect them from his jealous wife, so he whisks them both away to the sky. And Callisto becomes Ursa Major, the big bear, and Arcas becomes the constellation Bootes. In Norse mythology, the Big Dipper in Ursa Major was also known as Woden's Wagon. In Burma, their traditional constellation uses the forelegs and head of Ursa Major, and they use those stars to see a prawn or a shrimp. In the United Kingdom and Ireland, they see the Big Dipper as a plow, and in Indonesia, the Big Dipper is known as the canoe stars. All of this to say that different cultures envision different shapes, but they all have stories to go along with them that suit their own cultures. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the links mentioned in this episode or visit nightskytourist.com/86. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist Podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist Podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it and giving us 5 stars. Your ratings are really important to me, and they help more people discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. Until next time, keep looking up.